Good morning. First, let's have an announcement. Next Sunday, which will be Sunday the 4th, I will not be making a talk. So it'll be Sunday the 11th will be the next one. And I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be away from my station here where I make the talk, so I won't be able to make one. But it's okay, we'll continue until we've completed this book. And speaking of this book, it is The Art of Spiritual Healing, and we are on chapter 14, Under the Shadow of the Almighty. You stay in the secret place of the Most High, and you are under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, where is that secret place? If I asked you that, let's say I give you a written essay question. Where is the secret place of the Most High? Well, the Most High is God, of course. And God is consciousness. So the secret place is in your consciousness. Your consciousness of God. The secret place is in your conscious awareness of God. And so he says, well, he quotes a scripture. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And he gives several more scriptures. The Bible is filled with promises of safety to those who live consciously in the presence of God. Now, we all walk in the presence of God. In Him we live and move and have our being. But we're unaware of it. We have to become aware of the presence we're living in. And when we are consciously aware of that presence, then we have safety and security. When we're not consciously aware of that presence, anything and everything can happen to us. So he says, as long as human beings are living in this world, they will experience some of the cataclysmic effects of the world's materialistic thinking. But the promise is clear that if there is a famine, if there are floods, if there is fire, war, or bombs, those who live in God will walk through them. They will not in any wise touch them. How can anyone know whether or not he is to be among those who will not suffer the disasters of the world? The degree of immunity is determined by each person for himself. There is no God determining that for him. Now, you see how all of this is tying together? We said a couple weeks ago that I am the light of the world. And that's what is where I appear to be. That's what is where you appear to be, the light of the world. And last week we talked about this consciousness is our supply, supplying whatever we need. And that includes protection, that includes guidance, direction. So, you see, there is no God determining that for him. It is determined by each person for himself. Now that means there's no God that you can pray to for protection. There's no God you can pray to for guidance. Remember, that's one of the wisdoms. He says in the wisdom something like to pray for guidance at this stage sets up a sense of two-ness. There's little me and great big God up there, and I'm praying to God for guidance, for direction, for protection. But it doesn't come. Why? Because I'm living in this world, a dual universe, me and God. But if I have the conscious awareness of the living presence within me, without me, omnipresence, then I am under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's determined by my work with these principles. Scripture contains the laws of successful living, safe and secure living, and in the 91st Psalm is found the quintessence of these rules. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the conscious awareness of the presence is floated through on that presence. Are we dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Now he's going to give us several things to contemplate, to ask ourselves if we're really doing them. Do we live and move and have our being in God consciousness? Or in the conscious awareness of God? Do we live and move and have our being in a complete and utter reliance on the presence and power of God? My first teacher told me, we do not depend on God. We rely on God. Do we live and move and have our consciousness in an attitude of love, of giving and sharing? That was last week's lesson. Do we live as if we really believe that the place whereon we stand is holy ground? That right here and now the presence and power of God envelops me and mine? Now that's something you take into your meditation. You contemplate it. The presence and power of God envelops me and mine. And you look at it. And you rest back in it. The presence of God envelops all that I see. Everyone and everything in my consciousness is enveloped by the presence and power of God. And as we contemplate it, we catch the feel of it. We catch the sensing of that presence. And then we rest in it. Speak, presence. Thy servant heareth. And it may impart to us a feeling. It may impart to us a message. It may impart to us a spirit. And that impartation is the conscious awareness of the presence of God. That is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Who can see that? Nobody. That's the secret place. Very secret. Only you know when you're in it. The secret place of God. And it lies within you, within your consciousness. Then you come under the shadow of the Almighty. You're protected. You're safe. You're led in a secure way. There may be a hurricane bearing down upon you, but you are led in a safe passage. It does not touch you. You may be in a situation, in a store somewhere where bullets start flying. And you are protected. You are not touched. Why? Are you more special because you're following the infinite way than the fellow or gal next to you? No. No. You're dwelling in the secret place of God, which no one can see, but you can feel. Not think, I didn't say you can think it. You can feel it when you're in it. There's a deep breath. Thank you, Father. Do we live from early morning until late at night in the conviction that God is directing our path? Do we live and move and have our being in the attitude of listening for God's direction, for God's guidance and protection? Are we living and moving and having our being in the realization that underneath are the everlasting arms? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Are we of those who keep our minds stayed on God in reliance, confidence, hope, and expectancy? Are we of those who acknowledge that God is our life, and therefore our life is indestructible, invincible, immortal, eternal, harmonious, vital, and useful? Are we continuously acknowledging God in all our ways, acknowledging that God is our mind, and therefore only infinite intelligence can express itself as the activity of our being? Are we acknowledging God as the one infinite power, understanding that that terrifying human power, whether it appears as armies in the field or cancer in the body, is but the arm of flesh, and therefore it is without power and jurisdiction in our experience? Are we acknowledging God as the main theme of our life, the source of our supply, the activity of our being? Do we acknowledge God upon waking in the morning? Do we acknowledge that only the power of God could have given us rest or sleep, and that only the power and presence of God could awaken us to a new day? Well, these are a lot of things, a lot of questions to ask ourselves. Am I living this? Am I living these things? Are these states of my consciousness? Am I practicing these principles? Am I at least contemplating them? Here, in this new day, God is the governor. God is the Lord and master of this day. And God, not my bank account, not my job, not my family, not my friends, but God controls the issues of the day. God governs and rules the day. God is the power that never slumbers and never sleeps. God is omnipresent with me throughout my slumbers and my rest. God is resting me even if I cannot sleep. The acknowledgement of God as the real essence of our being, the real law of our being, the protection and supply of our being, is the acknowledgement of Him in all our ways. So there is much meat there. Much meat. Take any one of those questions into your inner temple and ask yourself, am I doing this? And if not, how can I begin to practice this? And contemplate it. The answers will come. Now, I know in the beginning, this seems like hard work. How can I ever do this, all these things? But that's not really it. Because as we practice, we come into a state of consciousness where we are consciously aware of the presence. And then all of these things fall into place. When you have the conscious awareness of omnipresence, you don't have to sit down and practice each one of these things. It's like driving your car, sort of. You know, in the beginning you had to check your side mirrors, check your rear view mirror, put your hands in the 10 and 2 position, cover the brake, put it into drive, and then press the gas. You had to remember all that. You had to look over your shoulder before you pulled out. Now you roll the situation forward about 10 years. You hop out in your car and you take off. You're doing all those other things, but it's so natural you don't even see it. It just flows. Like your breathing flows most of the time. You don't think about it, you just do it. When I started playing the guitar a long time ago, 55 years ago, I had to look in the book and put my fingers down on the chord, let's say making a C chord, or a B, or an A, or an E, or an F, or a G, or a D, and I had to consciously put my fingers down there, and I didn't have any calluses on my fingers. So I had to press hard, and it hurt, And when I strummed the strings, it was a twang sound instead of a nice sound. And it sounded awful. Nobody really wanted to be in the same room with me. And then I slowly learned a progression of chords. And then I learned an entire song. And then I learned how to finger pick instead of just strumming. And one day I was finger picking a melody. And my wife came in the room and said, "Hey, that sounds pretty good." That was progress. But I still had to watch what I was doing. Now, eventually, I could play a complicated song without watching. Just play the song and listen to it as I played. I could do it with my eyes closed. So all of that means that in the beginning, yes, this seems like a struggle. This seems like work, and I guess it is. The same way I worked toward learning the guitar. But I love music. And it was the love that inspired me to go on and on. And so it didn't seem like work. And it's the same with this. If you love God like I love God, this isn't work, this is a joy to practice these principles. And the day will come where you don't have to practice them, because they are practicing you. You don't even realize that you're consciously aware of the presence until something draws your attention to your withinness. And you realize, oh, wow, I was walking in the secret place of the Most High. So he says, Moses faced apparently insurmountable obstacles in leading the Hebrews out of bondage. But it was in those experiences that which could not humanly be managed spiritually appeared. The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, the manna from the sky, the water from the rocks. Moses probably never dreamed of such a form of protection. See, it's not a conscious thinking. His prayer was a realization of God's presence. See, that's the shield, that's the sword, that's the armor of God, is the realization of God's presence. But because God's presence was needed as protection, it came forth as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You see, it comes forth as what the need is of the moment. What happened the next day? The Red Sea opened. Do you for a moment believe that Moses could have prayed or even have thought of opening the Red Sea? No, no more than could you or I. His consciousness of God's presence, his conscious awareness of God's presence, appeared as the Red Sea opening. Now, I've seen this thing, this something, this invisible is, I've seen it appear as an automobile starting when it shouldn't. I've seen it appear as a new toe. I've seen it appear as a new and beautiful relationship. I've seen it appear as, well, all sorts of things. A parking place. I've seen it appear as $3,000. But it always appears as the need of the moment fulfilled if you have the conscious awareness of God's omnipresence. And so it's up to you, not up to God. It's up to your conscious awareness. In feeding and healing the multitudes, and in his ability to disappear through the throngs when there was no human help available, the Master relied upon something much greater than any human aid. He drew upon the infinite invisible for his every need. Well, you say, he was special. He was the Son of God. No. He wasn't special. Yes, he was the Son of God, and so are you. You are the Son or the daughter of God. You are God itself in manifestation. If you live in the secret place of the Most High, then you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then it appears as your need fulfilled. And so it has nothing to do with a special Son of God. It has to do with any Son of God who has the conscious awareness of the Father. Now, he says, each one of us must, there's that word again, must come to the realization that God is no respecter of persons, and that spiritual power is achieved in proportion to the devotion to that purpose. It is still true as it was in biblical times. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That is the one requisite, not whether we are high-born or low-born, not whether we have great education or no education, not whether we are white, black, yellow, male, female. It is determined by the activity of our own consciousness. It is determined by the awareness of your consciousness. It is determined by your conscious awareness. Don't you see, this book really has very little to do with healing? This is another in a series of books of the Infinite Way, which is teaching us to make a transition in consciousness to where we are no longer the thinking, reasoning, plotting, planning human being, to where we are listening, receptive, beholding, consciously aware of omnipresence. And we become that consciousness, and that consciousness becomes us, that conscious awareness. Then someone comes and says, could you give me help? We are consciously aware of omnipresence. Yes, I'll give you help. And then we dismiss the person, and we get back to our conscious awareness of the living presence. That then appears as our need fulfilled. And so it's all about training yourself to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that is, in the secret, sacred, conscious awareness of omnipresence. The Word of God is quick and sharp and powerful. And in that word, I have protection within me greater than anything that is in the external realm. I have meat that ye know not of. I have food and drink and medicine and wine. I have inspiration, life, truth, and I have love. Within me is the Word of God, and it is greater than anything that is in the world. Yes, the Word of God is quick and sharp and powerful. But the Word must be entertained by us in our individual consciousness. It must be in our hearts and on our lips. It must abide with us. If ye abide in me, if you let me abide in you, you remember that? The word of truth will never fail or disappear because it has found lodgment in the consciousness of an individual here and there. If the entire world were destroyed, there would be a remnant left, and that remnant would consist of those who had the word in their hearts. It is that remnant with the word in their hearts which would begin the new race, the new generation, the new age. So the remnant are those who are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. In everyday language, the remnant are those who have the conscious awareness of the presence of God. In the degree that we can realize God as the only presence and the only power, in the degree of that realization, are we led to be in the right place at the right time? Yes, you have inner urges. Turn left, go straight. Turn around, go back. Turn right. Stand still. And you get them if your mind is not cluttered up with thinking and planning and plotting. You get them if your mind is not cluttered up with anger, resentment, fears. He says, if we are living the life of conscious God realization, morning, noon, and night, realizing God as our very mind, and realizing that God makes every decision, not we, there would be a guidance and protection which would keep us from injury. As human beings living a human life, we are subject to all the beliefs that are floating about in the universe, the belief of chance, change, and luck. But if we are dwelling in the Word, in that secret place, we are a law, not only unto our own experience, but we become the law unto all those who look to us for help. Practically every news report emphasizes that we are living through days of fear such as have never been known heretofore. And as far as the world is concerned, to date, no defense has been found. No bomb-proof shelter invented which is secure against nuclear bombs. Therefore, it is easy to be hypnotized by this fear into believing that our life is dependent upon the good nature or whim of our enemy. What a horrifying thought, and the more horrifying because it is not true. And I know in this day and age, this hypnosis of the world's news is causing a lot of fear. The fact that Hezbollah just tossed a bunch of missiles and attacked Israel in the northern part and killed some children. And now we sort of know that Israel is going to practice an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so we're not sure where that's going. Here in the United States, we have two people running for president, and I'm not sure that either one is practicing spiritual principles. Yes, I have to go with the one I feel is the closest, but I'm not sure either one is really practicing them. We do not need to fear. We need have no part in the world's fears. God is a spirit. God is infinite, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Unless these truths are practiced, you have to practice them. Unless these truths are practiced, however, the Bible is nothing more nor less than a book on a table, and it is not the living, demonstrable word. It is true that we live in God and God in us. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But just as we have discovered that supply and health are invisible, so we must recognize that safety and security are invisible. We must dwell in the secret place of the Most High, not go there exclusively on Sunday, but make it our constant habitation, morning, noon, and night. This we do if we can realize that we ourselves are invisible. The whole secret of spiritual living has to do with the invisible. It has to do with our recognition of the fact that our life is invisible. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is invisible, hid with Christ in God. All right, so health is invisible, supply is invisible, safety, security, protection is invisible. And you are invisible. And when you feel that invisible life in your meditation, When you rest back in its presence, the presence of your invisible life, you feel its movement, you feel it flowing. This is the secret place of the Most High. It's a secret. Nobody knows that you're feeling it. Nobody knows you're consciously aware of it. So you rest in it. A smile comes to your face. Maybe the words, "Thank you, Father. Thank you." And now you're under the shadow of the Almighty. That very invisibility is our assurance of safety and security, whether in the home or in the office, whether traveling by plane, automobile, or boat. We are invisible infinity. We are never in a ship, in an airplane, or in an automobile. The ship, the airplane, or the automobile is in us, in our consciousness. Every vehicle we encounter on the highway is in our consciousness. Now, I've sort of made that a thing that I realize when I get in my car. I am driving through my consciousness. Everyone, everywhere that I see is in my consciousness, or I wouldn't see it. But before I leave, I make sure my consciousness is consciously aware of the presence. Every driver we encounter is within our consciousness and subject to our consciousness of truth. See, everything that you see is subject to your conscious awareness. And so this is training us to become the sons of God on earth. We cannot use God to protect us from an accident or from anything else. Yes, because that would be two-ness. Oh, dear God, protect me from this storm which is approaching. But we can come into the awareness of God as our being. And in that being, we shall find no accidents of any kind. I can come into the conscious awareness of God's omnipresence. I can come into the conscious awareness of God, omnipresence. And that then will be my consciousness, my conscious awareness. And then anything approaching me will pass through my conscious awareness and dissolve if it's not real. Now he gives you an example of this fellow who prayed that his family would be taken care of and protected from the drunk drivers. And the next thing he knew, he woke up in a hospital with his family. And he wanted to know why. How could this happen? In that one lesson, this man learned the principle that later made him an outstanding spiritual healer. The lesson that there is only one power, and that power is God. To realize God is the mind, life, soul, spirit, and substance of the universe. God as the only activity in the consciousness of husband, wife, child, parent, and of anyone who touches our consciousness, that is protective prayer. Protective prayer consists in knowing that no one has a self apart from God. No one has any mind, life, soul, spirit, any being, or any body other than God's. Protection lies in understanding that God is the life, intelligence, soul, spirit, immortality, and eternality of every individual on earth. What the other automobile driver knows about truth is not of importance. What counts is our experience. What counts in our experience is how much of truth we know. What we know of truth determines our demonstration, not what the other person knows. See, it's your consciousness, your conscious awareness. What are you taking with you as you walk out the door? Are you taking the conscious awareness of omnipresence? Are you taking that feeling of the living, moving presence of God? Or are you going out with plans for your day and rehearsing what you're going to say to someone? Are you going out with fears, resentments? Are you going out with the feeling of inadequacy? Are you going out with the fear of lack and limitation? Or are you going out in the secret place of the Most High, in the conscious awareness of the living presence? You determine, not God. Protective prayer lies in the realization that any truth we know is a universal truth. Thorough protective prayer consists in realizing God as the mind, the soul, and spirit, as the substance of the body of every individual. Now that again is another contemplation and meditation, to realize God as the life, mind, soul, spirit, essence, and substance of every individual. So that which you see is not made of that which does appear. But when you have the conscious awareness of the presence, which really is there, then you become like the master. And if someone touches the hem of your consciousness, they can receive healing without even asking. So, thorough protective prayer consists in realizing God as the mind, the soul, and spirit, as the substance of the body of every individual. God as the only law unto every individual. God as the life, the immortality, and eternality. You have no immortality of your own, and I have no immortality of my own. Whatever immortality we have is the immortality of God, made manifest as our eternality and immortality. There is a need for protective prayer. We must protect ourselves at all times from the acceptance of the universal belief in two powers, and in a sense of separation from God. So you see, you're not protecting yourself from other drivers. You're protecting yourself from the belief that other drivers have power. You're protecting yourself from the belief that they're our other selves, other minds. You're protecting yourself from the belief that there is something separate and apart from God, or someone separate and apart from God. And so you're not protecting yourself from individuals. The principle is you protect yourself from the impersonal universal belief or beliefs. And so that's your work. God must become a living experience to us. Now that means that experience that comes to you first in meditation. You feel that inner presence. You float back on it or rest back on it. And it is a very real experience. So God must become a living experience to us. And we must find a way to make contact with that from which we have had this sense of separation. When the Spirit touches us, the revelation we receive is that God is. You know, I've never had a revelation that God is thus. God is thus and so. But I've had hundreds, if not thousands, of revelations. God is. Then we let the Spirit of God take over. God is. Thank you, Father. Here, you take it. We let the divine presence go before us to make the crooked places straight. Okay, let us be still for a moment. See if there's anything else before we complete this talk. Earlier in this book, Joel said something like, I'm not coming into meditation for a healing. I'm coming into meditation so that I may experience omnipresence. And so I'm going to be still now and let that realization take place. Thank you, Father. Your presence is my sufficiency. Your presence that I feel here and now. Your presence is my everything. Your presence is my life. Your presence is my form. Your presence is my spirit. Your presence is my presence. This is the presence that God has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. And in a way ye know not of, this presence flows before you and prepares a place for you. Without hands, eternal in the heavens, this presence is your place, your secret place of the Most High. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you, and you will be under the shadow of the Almighty Loving Presence. take this conscious awareness consciously with you whithersoever thou goest, and I will be with you. I will never leave you, but you never leave me. And these two shall become one. This is the mystical marriage. So next class, we're going to be into part 4, spiritual healing without words or thoughts. And chapter 15 is beyond words and thoughts. And I look forward to what is revealed in that chapter with you. Once again, thank you. You draw this out, and I am but a vessel, but I love to be the vessel for you. Have a wonderful week, or 2 or 10 days, whatever it is. And blessings. Too many to count.